Welcome to episode 192 of the Men Who Save Football, the Dundalk FC Fancast. We're catching up on our last three games. We'll start with the cup tie against Sligo. Gentlemen, we have exited at the first round of the FAI Cup. A few weeks ago, we might have fancied our chances. We were in good form and Sligo were a relegation side. If you've been checking in on the Premier League, you would have seen that Sligo hit a little bit of form recently, particularly with our ex-player, Jed. Hakiki has been the playmaker for Sligo. He's been pulling a lot of strings. He was making a lot of things happen for them. And that kind of proved to be a little bit of the story last night. So we're out of the cup. How disappointed are you, or do we have other priorities?
Well, I'm quite disappointed to be out of the cup because I thought it was, you know, a home draw, a good chance to test ourselves against quality opposition. And unfortunately, we didn't win. But I'm a great believer that you get what you deserve in football. We probably dominated the possession and maybe some of the territory in the game. We made some of the best chances, but we missed them all. And a lesson that we've been forced to learn a few times in recent weeks, and indeed over the past 3 or 4 months of the season, is that the opposition seem to be much more efficient in front of goal than we are. And so I don't think that this is any surprise to, you know, Dundalk fans who've been watching the games, or indeed to the staff and players, right? When I hear Kieran Kilduff come out and talk about the games, right, he talks about the exact same things. I'd imagine he's frustrated. I'd say the players are frustrated. And I don't think like any of us want to put any more pressure on the players than they're already putting on themselves. But if we don't start hitting the back of the net, it looks like we are starting to stumble at, you know, one of the most important times of the season, right? I think automatic promotion is within our reach, right, in the league. 13 games to go. I think if we win, you know, maybe half of those, I would say, you know, sort of 6 or 7, we will probably cruise our way to promotion. But to do that, we've got to score some goals. And I think the story of the last few weeks is that we have just failed to hit the target, most of all. When we have hit the target, most of the efforts have been sort of weak or given the goalkeeper a chance when really the goalkeeper shouldn't have had a chance. And, you know, it doesn't matter how good you play the rest of the game. If you don't put the ball in the back of the net, you don't deserve to win games. And as a result, sadly, we are out of the cup.
Yeah, I think had we beaten Bray a week ago, I'd have been fine with going out of the cup. But it adds to this sense of worry. So it's hard to take in isolation. If we'd beaten Bray and, you know, things were all chugging along fine, league-wise, performance-wise, then you'd put it down to, well, we faced Premier Division opposition. They beat us. It's only the cup. Promotion is our primary goal. But I think in the context of coming off the back of a league defeat to a rival, and the nature, as Martin said, the nature of the way we're losing these games. I mean, I thought it was quite a battling performance by Dundalk. I think they were really, really up for it. Chased down every ball. You cannot fault them on effort. And you could kind of say, you know, coming off the back of, you know, a league defeat, trying to get concentrated on the league. I know there were some changes made. Some players were rested. But you could forgive them for going into a cup game against Premier Division opposition and maybe not taking it super seriously. But they didn't. They really, really went for it. It was, in a way, it was quite entertaining. It was quite battling. But as Martin said, the really worrying thing, taken in the context as well as the Bray game as well, is just our inability to put the ball in the net. And I mean, we got punished. I don't think Sligo were particularly good. I think we definitely had more chances than they did. But they took two of their chances, bam, bam, and put them into the net. We managed to conjure up multiple different ways of not scoring. I mean, the amount of times like we were all on our feet going, no, you know, throughout the whole game. And Sligo just needed two chances. But I mean, I think the story of the whole thing is the chance we had just before halftime, okay, put that away, completely different game. Second half, Sligo come out and put away their chance. That's the gulf between the two. So I would say I wouldn't have been that disappointed. But the nature in which we lost and the fact that it is kind of a continuation of the struggles we have had in the league would begin to creep in a little bit of worry. As Martin says, I think automatic promotion. We really, 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 we've said it before loads of times. We really don't want to be in a playoff situation. It's in our hands, and it feels like we're just, we're stumbling. And this is the issue. Failure to put the ball into the net.
Yeah, I took this game in isolation, as in I went to Oriel the other night thinking, yeah, we're gonna lose this. I thought we were gonna lose it by more than we lost. I thought we were actually gonna be played off the park and that you're gonna be able to see that gulf between the Premier Division and the First Division. And I'm sitting with a friend of mine in the stand, he lives in Sligo, and so you can imagine his kids are Sligo fans. And he turned around to me at halftime and he says, Sligo don't want to go to the next round of this game. They're not performing at all. They've no interest in this whatsoever. And I just think I disagreed with him. I said, no, it's be honest. I said, I think this is Sligo luck, like where Sligo are, ninth in the Premier Division. They're really, really poor. They're a poor side. We look value for where we are at half time. We should be winning. But then I also said to him, look, he's a Dundalk man. And I said, look, man, most of the games here, and this is the story, week in, week out, doesn't matter who we play, we look like the better team. We look like the team that should be 3-0 up at half time, but we never are. And we will make a meal of this. And if we win it, we will win it just by the skin of our teeth. And if we lose it, we lose it because we can't score. And everybody I've met afterwards has basically said the same thing, like lots of football and no goals. And when I mean say lots of football, I mean lots of quality football. Some exceptional, passages of play, really entertaining stuff, really, really good. And we just can't score. And that I think is going to be, the crux of the season, I think, for us. I think that we were very, very good the other night, and I think that everybody thinks the exact same. And just it was such a pity that we couldn't win the game. But look, I think we need to concentrate. Ken, you asked at the start, concentration on automatic promotion. I think, yeah, definitely that's what we need to be concentrating on. It would be great to get into the second round and go on a bit of a cup run, because I think that if we were scoring goals, then we would certainly be quality for that. But I think we just need to concentrate on the league and getting, getting up that automatic promotion place. That's really where it is. That's where it has always been, because I didn't see a massive gulf between ourselves and Sligo Rovers the other night, albeit Sligo are ninth in the Premier Division and we are at the top. They took their chances, two incredible goals as well. You can't take that away from them. When they look to give us, to cause us some trouble, they cause us some trouble. But I just thought that we were our own downfall in the end, unfortunately.
Yeah, if we look back at those missed chances, that was the difference, as you say. Sligo, when they got their chances, they were clinical. The ball hit the back of the net. Two good goals, in fairness. But before that, we had plenty of opportunities. Most notably, I suppose, the ball is worked into the box, and Arubi has this chance. He's central. He is about 5 yards out from goal. And that's the moment that you train for as a forward. The ball is there. He swings at it. He sort of contacts it with the shin. It ends up spinning back out the opposite direction from the goal line. Now, in the first division, against first division opposition, that's one missed chance. Maybe you get a second and a third and a fourth, and taking one of those is enough. But we probably had five good chances overall. That was the first one missed. Probably the most glorious chance was a really good passage of play, which ended with Harry Groom getting the ball just on the edge of box with a side of goal. Harry Groom has proven himself to be capable of scoring in those positions, but a really disappointing, timid side foot well wide of the goal. Another glorious chance ruined. Arubi in the second half had a really good half volley shot from across. It was low. It was to the keeper's left. Keeper did get down very well to save it. That was pretty much as you could ask your centre forward to do in that position. He got it on target. He tested the keeper. The keeper was just equal to the test. One of the moments which probably epitomised where our front line is right now is when Eby goes around the corner, or sorry, goes around the keeper. And basically, he's won the foot race. He's got an open goal, but he cannot find the finish. He actually mishits the ball. There's no pace in it at all. That's good enough to deceive the keeper, who's expecting a much stronger shot. But unfortunately, the shot is so weak that a defender can get back and take it off the line. And then in the dying minutes, Horgan again, decent shot to the keeper's left. Once again, he's equal to it. Five good chances, all of which were spurned. And it was kind of the story, not just of the night in question, but the previous week as well. And we've had that sort of performance. So there's now a pattern there. And, I wouldn't be too critical. It seems that we do have two units of the team which are functioning quite well. The defense remains pretty robust at the first division level. Now, most of, with occasional exceptions, if you think of, I suppose, Wexford away, we did cough up some soft goals, but the defense is functional. The midfield is functional and energetic. And you look out there, and I think most of the players, like if you look at Edervin, for example, I don't think there was much more that he could have given. He was everywhere, he covered every blade of grass. Other players, indeed, like no lack of effort, no lack of endeavor. They were certainly trying their best. But the one bit that is missing is I don't think there's great supply into our centre forwards, nor do our centre forwards seem to be on their game right now. They're certainly not playing the way that they played at the start of the season. It's almost as if Dundalk have become like the Bismarck. They left port and they were this awesome fighting force that carried all before them for the first half of their mission. But in recent weeks, ever since we had a few lucky strikes landed on us by the likes of Treaty, confidence seems to have ebbed away. And now it kind of looks like we were this all-conquering machine, which now is kind of limping towards the safety of port and hoping it gets there before everybody else catches up with us. And that's really the question. We've 13 games to go. There is a problem in the squad that needs to be fixed. Now, it's easy for us to say, oh, look, Kieran Kilduff needs to just get a bit of shooting practice in, tell the wide players to work on passing, not just to space, not just to dangerous areas, but picking out players. Coaching our centre forwards to be in the right place in the right time, to have a little bit of a kind of communication with each other so that if one goes narrow, well, the other one's going to go deep and we're going to stretch defences. I mean, it's easy to play armchair manager. I don't know quite what's going on in the squad, but we really need to up the quality of our supply into our forwards and then the forwards' ability to make dividends from that supply. If that doesn't happen, it's likely that things will continue as to continue, and every week it'll be a lottery of whether or not we get our noses in front and we allow our defence and midfield then to kind of carry us to 3 points. But using that Bismarck analogy, do you guys think that with 13 games to go, we're going to make it to the safety of port and we're going to be okay? Or are we going to get caught, crippled, and overtaken by our opponents and end up at the bottom of the Bay of Biscay?
Well, I think that the Sligo game is a bit of an outlier in one way, in that it's because you're playing, it's a cup, different mentality, and it's Premier Division opposition. So in one way, that's a hard one to judge. We really need to talk about, I think, the Bray game, I think, is really the answer to potential answer to this question. But just on that, as you said, though, yeah, exactly. The thing about the Sligo game is that it was a macrocosm of a lot of our problems. And I thought we played very well in that game, just but we didn't get. I agree with Martin. You get what you deserve. The Bray game is probably the more worrying game to answer your question, because that's against a rival. And now I know we'll talk about it probably in depth about the game, and we will probably have to talk about the penalty that shouldn't have been a penalty, and would that have changed things? But very similar problem. We were joking at the break game about a fourth field in front of the goal, which has appeared in a number of games, because we just simply cannot put the ball into the net. So that's worrying. Can we do it? Can we limp over the line? I would say we can. Because when we keep going on through tonight's episode, we will get to the Kerry game, which is the ray of hope at the end. Very well placement, by the way. So we're going to end on a high. But if we're just sticking with the Sligo game for now, as evidence of anything, I would say there's positives to be taken from it. Another issue, I would say, again, not to be super negative, is that because I do think we played well, I think we were better than them, but then they took their chances, we didn't. Is that there's a lot of erratic passing from us as well. a lot of really simple short passes that should have been completed were being intercepted. That was also worrying. Now, I do think, though, that you did see another thing we could talk about later, maybe later on towards the end is, we've been talking about, is this team ready for the Premier Division? Now the conversation is, will this team get into the Premier Division? But one thing I would say is, I do think Sligo were poor. I think that we battled harder than them, but you could see that slight higher level of quality because I think Sligo snuffed out mistakes that we made much better than most of the teams we play week in, week out. I think you get away with a bunch of those bungled passes we do each week. We didn't. We weren't getting away with Sligo. Sligo were much more on the ball with things, and resulted in, fair enough victory for them. They were more clinical. They were more precise and technical. But as I said, that was a conversation a few weeks ago. Is this team Premier Division ready? Is this team going to be in the Premier Division? But again, I know you'll talk about it in a bit. But I think that Friday's game tells us less about that than the Bray game.
I would still say that the first division is Dundalk's to lose. I think that we have a 4-point cushion, right, to start with. But we also have, I think, the best midfield, right? You've talked about Aidan Irvine already, right, covering every blade of glass, right? I don't think there is a better defensive midfielder in the first division than Aidan Irvine. I think the relationship that he has with Harry Groom, right, I think is a good combination, right? And I think we might have lamented, Groom's miss in front of goal, right, on Friday night, but you'd have to say, like, he's been getting into those positions really well over the past, 3 or 4 weeks. He's scored, a lot of goals for a central midfielder, and so I think that combination is working particularly well. I think Daryl Horgan is without, equal probably in the first division too, in terms of the quality that he brings. And while we've lost Leo Gaxa, right, I think some combination of Owen Kenny or Declan McDaid, right, look very capable too. And so I think midfield wise, I don't think there's anybody better in the division than we are. Up front, you would say, like, by the stats, we have people who are very accomplished strikers and, have a reputation for putting the ball in the back of the net a lot. They're just not doing it very much right now. You've alluded to again that, sometimes the supply isn't great. They're not being teed up for a lot of tap-ins. But at the same time, we're talking about over the two games, right? If we talk about Bray and we talk about the Sligo match, we've probably carved out 12 clear-cut chances, right, for people within 18 yards, right, having a strike or a head at goal. And, if we'd taken only one or two of those, that would be disappointing. We have taken zero, right, out of that. That is, if I'm going to be honest, not good enough, right? Now, I don't think the players need me to tell them that, right? I think they will know that themselves. They will be very frustrated. So this is me not just trying to, like, start a pile-on on the guys, but, like, they know that they have to do better than a 0-12 ratio for that kind of thing. Now, I think they're very capable, right? I think, certainly Dean Ebbie has a record, right, in the first division that, suggests he can do a lot better than that. I think some of the other players, right, are young and sort of, what would you say, proving themselves. But in terms of their general play, like, they look very capable of getting into those positions. And most of all, you'd be more worried if we weren't making any chances, right? We are making, like, hatfuls of chances every game. We're just not putting it in the back of the net. And it would be tempting to say that sooner or later the dam is going to burst and we're going to, sort of hockey somebody. But we probably did that against Kerry and yet went straight back to not scoring any more goals again. So, like I say, I think the capability is in there in the Dundalk squad to comfortably win this division. They have a head start on everybody else. They have the better players. I think they can do it. It's just about finding that form.
Yeah, I think we all, like, we've been watching this team over and over and over again, and you're just thinking, right, when we get those goals, that's when it's all going to kick off. And I know we don't want to go to the Kerry game yet, but, like, I just thought that the goals came a wee bit too late in that game for it to be, chalked in as a comprehensive 4-0 win. But on the back of the Sligo game and the Bray game, one of the huge positives out of that is, like, we're out of the cup. And Cove and Bray are still in the cup. So they've got at least one game, left to play extra than we do. But I have to completely agree with Martin there about the quality that's in the team. Like, when you're watching, like, Aidan Irvine the other night, he was incredible. Like, he was covering every inch of that field. His work rate was something else. He was brilliant to watch because I spent a lot of this year watching the games from Shedside. The other night when I was watching from the stand, you could really see Derpin's work rate. It was incredible. My friend that was over from Sligo, Kieran, he was like that guy because I pointed at Derpin out like in the first couple of minutes. Just watch this guy here, and he said he's just his work rate's just incredible. He's all over the place. He's brilliant, and he really really was. And then Harry Groom as well. I thought he was exceptional. And you're watching team, and we've had this discussion like off the podcast as well. You're talking about Prem. Like I know where our full concentration is on, automatic promotion. But then when we look at like what happens if we get automatic promotion, who stays? But I just thought Harry Green was exceptional the other night. I think he is getting better. And I think that, dare I say it, I definitely think that he would be a Premiership quality player if you look at his performance against Sligo the other night. I thought he was strong. I thought he was composed. His distribution was really good, and his work rate was excellent against Premier Division team. So, as I said, I took the game the other night, like going into it as a standalone, and I stand by that. I think that look, we take that as it is. We're 4 points clear. The Bray game, I wasn't down in Bray. I actually didn't get to see the game. Got to see the highlights. Listened to you guys talk about it plenty, and. Yeah, it looked like that just wasn't our night. So I'm not going to get too worried about that. Maybe you'll change my mind. But I think it definitely is ours to let slip away. Because I definitely think that we're positioned very strongly, and we're an exceptional footballing talent. It's just getting that final third, getting that delivery, and those balls into the back of the net. The quality is there to do it. It's just whatever the mechanisms of it to get it to happen. Just when it happens, it will and it should happen.
Yeah, I don't think anybody doubts the capability of the squad that we have. We've seen the first 10 games. We've seen them sort of, looking like they weren't going to drop any points for a period of the season. And I think we know Dean Ebbie's record, but I think it was there to see last night when he goes round the keeper. We've seen a lot of centre forwards in that position over the years, and it's sort of a barometer, it's a litmus test of where your confidence is. And he looked like a player who hadn't, the confidence maybe that he had at the start of the season. And maybe, who knows why that is the way it is right now, and who knows exactly the formula to maybe get him back firing again. We do have an addition to the squad in the centre forward position, so that perhaps will increase competition there, and maybe it's competition that will inspire an upping of the ante. We can talk a little bit maybe about Rowan Vaughan, who's largely an unknown to us, something of an interesting signing in that he's coming in from an underage team, albeit at a higher level, QPR in the championship. So, I suppose an addition to the squad, which we thought, we have limited scope to make given our budget. Any addition to the squad, particularly in that area, is welcome. It's interesting. Again, a very young player. It's a lot to ask of a 19-year-old to come in and begin to deliver goals. But he certainly seemed confident in his interview, although it's far too early to say what sort of contribution he'll be likely to make. However, the Sligo game we know was against a team from a division above us. Probably what was a little bit more worrying was the previous week. And I know, Martin, you got to witness this in all its technicolor. What was noticeable about the game in Bray was that the first visit to Bray was the quintessential game in which we looked very superior to our alleged rivals. When Dundalk went down to the Carlisle grounds for the first encounter with Bray this season, we swept them aside within half an hour. We looked way better than them as regards quality. Horgan, very, very sharp, scored a great goal. And we never really looked all that much in trouble. In fact, we established such a stranglehold on the game that the main threat to us was maybe a little bit of complacency creeping in. However, very, very different story with the last visit to the Carlisle grounds. Again, we seemed to huff and puff, look the superior team, move the ball around and dominated possession, but then fell behind. And we kind of got a little bit of a familiar feeling from last time. We just looked so sluggish in attack. We looked so maybe short of ideas as to how to unlock a functional but not spectacular Bray defence, that we just didn't look like we were going to score, and indeed we didn't. Now, I suppose we were a little bit unfortunate with phantom penalty. But yeah, do you want to tell us your views on the Bray game, particularly how our most recent visit contrasted with our previous one?
I mean, to be honest, I don't think it contrasted all that much, with the exception of the goals, right? And the results, which is honestly the most important thing. So, I guess that's kind of unfortunate. But in terms of the way that Dundalk dominated the game, the way that we set out to play, the quality that we showed on the pitch, right? I thought we were superior in all of those departments. And I think we remarked that Bray, up until the 40th minute or so, had no chances, right? No territory. We had completely dominated. I think Arubi had a good chance that was saved, midway through the first half. Kenny looked like he was going to tap it in, but was, sort of beaten to the ball. There was a second chance for Kenny where, a good cross into the near post, free header, 6 yards out, went over the bar. And I think you got the feeling that, if we had scored first, I think we were going to cruise that game in much the same way that we cruised the game earlier in the season. Like, we just looked, really superior. But as you said, the phantom penalty was, a real turning point, and goals change games in a way, right? They put an air of pressure, on us, despite being superior, to come out and actually do something about it. And in the second half, right, I thought we came out of the starting blocks at the start of the second half and were fantastic for the first 10, 15 minutes, with the single exception of putting the ball in the net. I think we saw Dean Ebbey has, a free header again from 4 yards out. The keeper makes a really good save, but it's one of those, the keeper shouldn't have a chance there, right? He shouldn't be able to make a good save, but does somehow. Again, Daryl Horgan does not tap in the ball at the far post, and it hits the post instead, and there's a scramble and stuff like that, crazy stuff. There's a second Dean Ebbey header that, again, he has to, sort of generate the power himself. But it's another super save from the keeper. I think there's an Andy Perishev chance from 12 yards, right? The ball is crossed into him. He is a free volley from 12 yards, and it goes wide of the target. There's Owen Kenny beats, sort of four or five of the Bray team single-handedly through, on the keeper, and then fires the shot straight at him instead of, passing it into the net. And just one of those, right? You felt like we were so dominant, right, through that entire period. You get that worry, right, inside you, where you think we have had all this domination, we have had all these chances, we have failed to score, they're going to get a chance and punish us. And in fairness, Bray had one of those chances and missed it. Like, they really should have scored, I think, round about the 80-minute mark, but somebody pulled the shot wide. And I think from there we sort of huffed and puffed, and in the 92nd minute or whatever, we concede another one, when everybody is pushed up the pitch. But I know, from the media reports that people could overhear Kieran Kilduff's dissatisfaction with the team right in the dressing room at full time. I think, again, everything that he said in his post-match comments, about how disappointed the team were, right, not to win that game. But like I say, you get what you deserve, right? We had the chances, we didn't take them. It was within our power, and I think that's why everybody left the ground very dissatisfied with that result.
Yeah, not much to add to that. That's pretty comprehensive. It's a very similar story to the Sligo game as well. Is if we put away one of those chances in the first half, as Martin said, I think it's a completely different game. The penalty, I mean, I don't know what else needs to be said about it. There's not only was it not a penalty, but it wasn't in the box. I mean, I've rewatched it multiple times. Maybe from the footage and from the position we were in the stand, we can't see it right. But he falls into the box. That is just never a penalty. And that changes the game. But that doesn't excuse, as Martin said, it doesn't excuse, I think, Dundalk's shortcomings. Totally dominated the game. Bray hadn't had a chance until the penalty. There are positives there, but I do think, again, I agree, we're not here to have pylons and stuff like this, but I think that like Ebbey's headers are just too weak. You need to be challenging the keeper more. And Kenny had two great chances. And I mean, Kenny had made those chances, like especially the one-on-one. I mean, he had made that chance himself. So there's huge amounts of positives there. Just doesn't put it into the net. And a really tough one to take. To circle back then, talking about that game. The big looming question about what it means for our league, for our championship tilt. The only thing I would say is I mean, I agree with the lads. I mean, we we're 4 points clear. We should be in control. I think we'll be able to do it. The problem would be, I think those two losses back to back would be maybe a confidence thing, is that they begin to just strikers especially, you know, they'll get the heebie-jeebies and just very psychological thing. Okay, so the defense, you know, might be able to do its thing. The midfield, as we said, is very good. But if these players keep going and going and going without scoring or messing up chances, because as Martin said earlier on, or someone said earlier on, it would be way more annoying if we weren't getting the chances. It'd be way more worrying if we weren't getting the chances. But the Bray game was the epitome of this team is probably, we are the best team in the division. And we're showing that not just in league position, but in the way we play. But we should be, I mean, just beating these teams. I mean, the Bray game should have been a win for Dundalk, and it wasn't. And it's take the penalty aside, because I think that even, you know, even if we go down 1-0, that the way we were playing that game was still winnable. You know, sometimes, especially Dundalk of old in recent years, go 1-0 down, and well, that's it, it's game over. But this, first of all, this season, this team has shown they can come back from being behind. And I do think that, especially in the second half, with a bunch of those chances, goes 1-1, and I think absolutely the energy is back with Dundalk, and we go on to win it. But just my big worry is a confidence issue, especially for strikers.
Now, the game that seemed to have answered that confidence question was the previous one against Kerry, which we didn't get a chance to talk about. We got our noses in front in 20 minutes with a great goal from Harry Groom. We consolidated a grip on the game when Owen Kenny, after a spell of Kerry pressure, a fight back somewhat after the beginning of the second half, Owen Kenny converts. And then, to put the kind of icing on the cake, we have two injury time goals, one from Keith Ward and one from Andy Parashev. And the goals have begun to flow, and the entire conversation we've just had seems to be null and void. Dundalk had been looking a little bit shot shy, had been missing chances that they might have converted. Suddenly the goals are flowing, and we're probably thinking, well, that's that little problem solved, and now we're back to how we were at the start of the season, and we can build on that. Didn't quite prove to be the case. So given that our next series of fixtures are kind of no longer against teams which are round about us at the top of the table, we're going to be facing sides over the next few weeks. We've got Wexford at home, mid-table, UCD away, mid-table. Then we've got the two Midland clubs coming, both for home fixtures in early August, and they're more towards the foot of the table. Are you optimistic that, you know, given that we'll won't be facing a team with the capabilities to shut us down the way Sligo had? Because we saw that Sligo were able to induce a lot of turnovers of possession from us without really much pressure being applied, simply because they were well organised. Do you think the opposition we'll face now in the next month or so will allow us maybe to begin to kind of return to the type of conversion rate we had against Kerry, where some of the chances that currently are going awry, well, they end up in the back of the net?
Well, I think, you know, Damien is threatening to turn a 4-0 away win into a negative earlier on. He made some threatening comments to be able to turn a 4-0 away win. But it's actually interesting with the Kerry game is that, because we haven't talked about it, is that we had been on this podcast waiting for the big 4-0 thumping of a team. And then it happened. And it's weird then, because what has followed it is these two back-to-back defeats. But I think the Kerry game would definitely give you hope. Think about the things in the Kerry game is all the different types of chat goals and things that we did right. You know, long range efforts, free kicks, one-on-ones with the keeper. You know, the it was a lovely mixed bag of goals that you know that showed that you know, Parashev going through on the keeper, Wardy with the free kick, things like this. It showed you the different, you know, goals coming from different places. Dean Ebbe got two assists as well. So, you know, maybe he's not banging them in, but he's there contributing in that way. So I think that we need, maybe the team and everyone needs to reset and think about that game. And as we've said, the quality that is in the side. And definitely, I think you're right. The nature of the games coming up give us a chance for a reset. I think they can take hope from this. There's positives taken from the Sligo game, not so many positives taken from the Bray game, But then the Kerry game does show when things, the possibility in this team. So it's not all doom and gloom. I definitely think the next few weeks offer a chance to reset. As someone said, down the line, our chief rivals are still in the cup. Okay. That kind of, again, to take more positives from these defeats before Damien takes a negative from a win. Get the cup out of the way and just concentrate on the job at hand. So I think the Kerry game should loom in their minds as a reminder of what they're capable of. But I definitely think a win at Oriel, settle the fans, could just get the show back on the road. And as you said, the teams are lower in division for a while. Give us a bit of chance to, spar with some of them and, just get the shooting boots back on.
Not just a negative from a win, but a negative from a 4-0 win. Thank you very much for grounding me there, Rory. And you're dead right, because you should be taking the positives from that. The goals were brilliant. They weren't just the same old free kicks through on the keeper. I suppose the point I was making was that the last two goals came late in the game, so not been an emphatic 4-0 win hasn't been all done and dusted, by midway through the second half. But you know what? The real positives from it is that the fact that they went till the bitter end, that those goals came at the very, very death. They could have just, like, they're 2-0 up, they could have just went, yeah, whatever, we'll just pass it around and we'll just do whatever. We didn't. They didn't. They went on and they won the game 4-0. So thank you very much, Rory, for grounding me there. And to look at the fixture list, Ken, and see that we've got Wexford at home. It's a real resetting point, but they should go out and they should enjoy that game. Don't think of it as a major stress or a major pressure game, because even though they will feel the pressure of having to get the 3 points, I think if they put themselves under too much pressure, they'll allow Wexford just to frustrate them, and then obviously then go away to UCD and then to bring Longford back to Oriel Park. They are good games to get good solid performances and to get a little bit sharper in front of goal.
I noticed nobody went for my Bismarck analogy. Is this because you're just not aware of that chapter of World War II, or just don't think it's applicable?
I don't know anything about it, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, my historical analogies are, if they're lost on you, that's the last time I'll try that particular angle. But if there's any history fans listening to the podcast and they think that's appropriate, you can tweet in and let us know whether or not you think we're going to make it to the safety of the Saint Nazaire or not. Speaking of Twitter, Damien, do you want to turn to Twitter and see what the fans made of the last few games?
Yes, Will is trying to get up here in front of me and start. Where shall I start? I suppose if I go from the Kerry game. So two injury time goals give Dundalk FC a flattering scoreline as Mount Hawk Park once again proves to be happy hunting ground for the title chasing Lilywhites. Can we expect more goals after our biggest winning margin of the season? E. Collins gives a kind of a three, it's kind of a three-part answer to that. So I'll have a go at this. What a horrific game that was, and one that won't live long in the memory. First half, Dundalk spent strolling around and well on top of playing with no intensity or creating not that much after the goal. I'd say Keller was apoplectic. Ref pulled out a defo red for Kerry in the first. And then if Dundalk achieves promotion, who from our current side are you bringing up to the Premier with you? Who deserves Premier football? And as always, he talks about Dundalk screwing around with possession in the second half and getting on with it, and then became an attacking side, compact, and looked like we could score plenty. But to be honest, 4-0 was a deserved scoreline. So it probably summed it up there. Wee House Enjoyer, I think losing that game at Harps might be beneficial in the long run, was making the team too conservative. Best performance of the season. And Robbie said, I think deserved, not flattering. Hopefully we convert more going forward that our play generally deserves. And hope, sorry, how was the Kerry player who kicked out not a red card in the first half? The next game up, so frustrating night, Dundalk FC as dominance in possession and numerous chances fails to convert into goals, while a soft penalty allows Bray to inflict the Lilywhite second defeat of the season. Why are Dundalk FC struggling to score? So that's what we asked our followers on Twitter. Rory Gilsonen says Bray keeper made some fantastic saves. Some of the negativity in comments from a minority of the crowd are hard to listen to. Frustrating, but still four clear, two defeats in 23. Maybe they're trying so hard, but just not happening. Reminds me of Robbie Farrell, who went on a run. Spaceman 83. Standard of finishing in desperate is desperate in the squad. Nobody ever looks like they're capable of taking the ball and burying it. Same thing week in, week out. Simon Canning thought we played well overall, so can't complain. Thankfully, Cove were beaten too. And Robbie, we played very well tonight and through the lines. Greatest enough clear-cut chances. Need to be more clinical. And then our last game with Sligo and FAI Cup. So Dundalk FC exit FAI Cup due to two early second half goals, Sligo Rovers. While Lilywhites gained again, failed to convert their opportunities. Is it best to focus on the league campaign? Kieran Fisher, what choice have we got now? John Cotter, the booing of Ryan O'Kane was an absolute disgrace. Embarrassing and pathetic. Same people booed Patrick McIlhenny, Sean Gannon, and several other returning players who gave everything for Dundalk. Clubs should call these people out for this unacceptable behaviour. So Shane McGurk says, beaten by two fantastic goals, and that's all Sligo did. We played very well, but the Gulf in Glass is not massive. A very young team did themselves well. Key lad, we were so much better in the first half. I don't know what happened in the second half. E. Collins, the lads were excellent last night, 100%. Doubt there were many harsh words said in the dresser after that. And Killer will be telling them to take some performance form to Wexford next week. Hopefully, the new lads and the injured lads will be back with everything heating up now. Philip Kelly asks the question, what opportunities? John McDwyer says, since the end of the cup, dot, 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 dot. And Bernard, no, it's never. No, it never is, but like you have a choice. Simon Canning, league is much more important. We dominated the match, especially in the first half. Sligo were unable to carve us open from play. We had much more possession and shots on goal. Disappointing now. Need a good solid performance for the remainder of the league campaign. And then Robbie, again, played well. Shows we will need to win the league to go up. Keep performing like with this, and we have a very good chance. So lots of different opinions there over the three games. And I think a lot of it, even like when you're walking around the town, you do hear a lot of, people, the frustration and people, when they're talking about, the lack of goals. But like I think that's frustrating for all of us. And it's frustrating for Keller as well when you listen to the interview. He's playing very, very well. As he said himself, in the cup game, he would have taken a terrible performance and went through to the next round rather than a brilliant performance and getting knocked out. So like we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, I'm sure it's no mystery to Kieran Kilduff that we're not scoring enough goals and we're not converting those chances. It's not as if he's bunkered down into some weird formation with players out of position all over the place and he's now kind of, compounding elementary mistakes. I think generally speaking, we probably need to remind ourselves of the difficulty he had at the when he came in. A lot of managers wouldn't have fancied coming to the club in those circumstances. A complete rebuild in the first division with huge expectation that you get out. And I suppose we're a little bit part of that in that the way we began the season with such swagger, we kind of expected us to continue in that way. But with such a young squad, you're probably going to have a few bumps in the road. So a high amplitude of emotion there. It's funny that our 4-0 win elicited some of the most heavy criticism. But that's Dundalk fans. We have high standards, so there you go. One of the interesting trends brought up there was the booing of Ryan O'Kane, which was, I think, a little bit half-hearted. When he was substituted for Sligo Rovers, he did get a warm round of applause and he acknowledged the crowd. So I suppose that raises the interesting question, the booing of ex-players. It adds a sort of pantomime element to a game. It's probably not very nice. I don't think Ryan O'Kane is a good fit to be pantomime villain. So I suppose the question to you gentlemen is, if Neil Fenn turned up in O'Riel Park next week, would it still be okay to boo him?
Yeah, it all depends on context. I think someone like Neil Fenn should be booed out of town. He should be chased out of town. It should be like one of those cartoons where he's put onto a rail track and chased out of town. Okay, a mob should chase him down the M1. So Neil Fenn is never a welcome in the Dundalk city limits ever again. I thought the booing around here was ridiculous. It was great though at the end randomly. He got a very warm applause at the end. I don't know, like the psychic word went through the crowd. This is a stupid thing because the booing was coming from around the ground as well. It was coming, from all parts of the ground, and I just thought it was very, very odd. It always reminded me the first time Thierry Henry played for we played for Barcelona against Arsenal, and he got booed. And then everyone cheered, and it was almost like they got the booing out of the way. It was an agreed thing that they were going to boo him and then cheer. I think some players, I mean, I've said this before, but I even think the booing of Sean Gannon was ridiculous. Sean Gannon, absolute club legend. Nothing needs to be said about Sean Gannon. Gave everything. We said it before on this podcast that his exit was Dundalk's failure, not Sean Gannon, pulling the move. I think Ronan Finn is always due a good boo. Last time we were up in at Belfield, he got a good owl going from the crowd. I think Ronan Finn can accept an acceptable booing situation. Ryan O'Kane isn't, so we'll keep score here. I'll say you can boo. Next, if we go back to UCD in a few weeks, you can boo Ronan Finn. Ryan O'Kane did nothing to deserve that, but it was great to see he did get a nice reaction at the end.
I think I'm going to disagree with you. You can boo Sean Gannon. I think you can boo Sean Gannon when he's got Shamrock Rovers colours on. Definitely, the way he was treated at the end of the club was absolutely atrocious. But not to say an iota, not to say a jot to the supporters who gave him so much, who think so much of him, who loves Sean Gannon. I mean, I think Sean Gannon is probably one of the best footballers, in the League of Ireland. I mean, ever. I mean, he has that many trophies. He was a diamond plucked from the rough by Stephen Kenny. The way he played in the European games, you give me anybody at right back ever, and I will say Sean Gannon. That's even over Geno Lawless. And I go Sean Gannon. I just think he's an immense player. But I can see where the boos come from for Sean. Sean should turn around and said, "Ah, oh, well, Bill, go F yourself." But to play the Dundalk FC fans, I'll always have a special place for him. He didn't. He just slunk off and went to Shamrock Rovers and sat on the bench for 4 years. So yeah, he's one that should get a boo. Definitely Ronan Finn. We covered that one after the UCD commentators didn't understand why he should get a boo, but we have to understand why he should get a boo. Fantastic player. It happened back in a heartbeat. An immense servant of the club. Thought he was brilliant when he was here. I was devastated when he went. Definitely. But the Ryan O'Kane thing, absolutely not. I actually when he was being booed and I could hear it in the stand the other night, I actually just thought it was kids. A little bit kids, like kind of the pantomime villain type thing. I couldn't really hear it around the ground. But absolutely no way should Ryan O'Kane get booed. Definitely not. We should, you're right, Rory, we should put up our little chart of who we can boo and who we can't boo, and who should get big boos and who should get, kind of mediocre boos. But Sean Gannon, always welcome at Oriel Park, an absolute legend, but definitely a boo in a green and white jersey.
Some players have made a run for their own back, right? The likes of Neil Finn, right, have cheated the club, deliberately. That is, I think, grade A cause for booing. Some other people have given themselves a sort of B grade cause for booing, like going to a direct rival or something like that. Ronan Finn, I remember when he came back, for the first game at Oriel Park, he actually got a big cheer, when he came onto the pitch from the fans and stuff like that. The booing really didn't get going probably for another year or two, right? Until he had a notorious dive to win Rovers a penalty, right? I think maybe later that same year or something like that. And I think, that set the trajectory. Sean Gannon, I think I'm going to agree with Damien a little bit on this one, right? I think, could have turned around and said, thanks everybody for the memories, had a great time at Dundalk, but, unfortunately, thanks to Bill, I'm off. But didn't do that. I think we saw the likes of Sean Hoare did do that. And I think Sean Hoare always got a pretty good reception when he came back, no downsides. Sean Gannon had a pig's head thrown at him, right? Which was maybe a slightly overreaction. I'm prepared to say that that might have been a step too far. But I will say that, there are sort of degrees of, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And so he might have, blurred the lines a little bit there. Ryan O'Kane, let's be honest, the club had gone down. It wasn't clear that there was going to be a Dundalk FC. And as, Colin Murphy has said to us countless times, if somebody offers you a contract, right, as a young football player, you take it. And so wasn't clear that Dundalk FC were going to exist. The league champions came in and offered him a contract, right? What's he supposed to do? I bear Ryan O'Kane no ill will. And to be perfectly honest, he didn't play that well against us. So maybe we'll just let him away with this one.
Yeah, I didn't expect to get such a weird moral calculus emerging. Like the easy politically correct thing to do would be say, no, it's terrible, it shouldn't be done. But as we see, emotion and heroes and villains are a huge part of the game. And there's this some sort of weird apostasy is going on here. Players who go to direct rivals are worthy of boos, and players who go to just, you know, any other team are not. To add to it, there's a little kind of, there's also a seemingly a half-life to fan fury. I remember Philly Hughes, when he played for Shelburne, got boos for several seasons. But by the time he got to Kildare County, there had been some sort of catharsis enough so that he got warm applause again. So these, there is hope yet for the people that you have labelled as forever in our bad books. On the Ronan Finn question, I just have to say that there is a statement that I have about Ronan Finn. He's one of the most talented players we ever had, and he was one of the best players in the best team that we ever had. And that counts for a lot with me, despite... Oh, and of course, he did play a pretty good villain. I mean, when he captained Shamrock Rovers for that period and we had a decent rivalry with them, you know, it was people want to be entertained. You do need your villains, and you do need your Adderbior-like characters. And maybe he fulfilled that role for a while. But one cannot, like, unlike Neil Fenn, who didn't do all that much for the club, and then behaved in the most scallywag fashion to exit the club and join a rival. I think he is the gold standard of treachery, and you know, kind of deserves all he gets, playfully enough. On the Sean Gannon question, I am going to balance this up. I cannot hold ill will against Sean Gannon, because in my heart of hearts, I know he didn't want to leave. I couldn't bring myself to watch his press conference where he was unveiled as a Shamrock Rovers player. It was just too much at that time when, you know, we were giving our best players away to our main rivals and ensuring that they would go on and be the dominant force. I just couldn't bring myself to do that. But I know he was put on the spot by a Shamrock Rovers podcast and sort of was asked which club did he prefer. And of course, what's he going to say? But again, a player who gave so much to the club, was such a warrior for us, was again one of the best players in our best team ever, and did not want to leave the club. I'm going to convince myself that in his heart of hearts, he's still a lily white despite the anger. And I'm glad you draw the line at pig's heads, because I draw the line considerably earlier than that. But I suppose it's always going to be a little bit of a part of the game. It should never be taken to the level of pig's heads. I think that's just insane. But we do need heroes, we do need villains. I just don't think that there was much possibility of painting Ryan O'Kane as a pantomime villain. I think, well, most people associated with Dundalk FC, if we get promoted, they'd be quite glad to see Ryan make his way back to O'Riel Park. But when you think of all the players that we've had, and like the booing of Richie Towell and the very unkind things that were said about his beloved Buster, there's a performative element to that. Sometimes it's comical. Sometimes it's a little bit nasty. Sometimes it does cross a line. But it looks like, judging from what you guys have had to say, that it is going to be a feature of the game now and in the future.
I'm with you, Ken, on the fact that there is always room for redemption. You know, you never know who will be added to the backroom staff or something like that at some point in the future. We should probably mention that we were seated in front of Dundalk FC's record goal scorer on Friday night. And when asked by a child who did he support as a footballer, he said Dundalk FC. It was hard not to have, you know, a little tear come to your eye when you hear that kind of thing.
True, true. And it probably brings us back, I suppose we should cover... It was quite emotional seeing Patrick Holman now playing his trade in East Belfast. It's going to make the Boxing Day derby they have up there between Linfield and Glentoran an interesting affair, to see that Holman will be probably going up against Chris Shields in that game. You'd nearly be tempted to hop on the train and very discreetly slip into the Oval just to kind of... That can be a day out if you get bored at Christmas. But yeah, that's where he'll be now. It's funny the way that things kind of ended for him at Derry, and he seems to have been public about not really getting on with the manager. But even though he's now 33, I mean, if we could have got him back, if we had had the budget, I think our goal scoring problems would be over. And I would expect he'll be ripping it up in the Irish League. I wouldn't expect anything other than him getting, you know, hatfuls of goals when he gets back ticking up there. We do have a couple of additions to the squad. J.R. Wilson has come in at full back, and we mentioned Rowan Vaughan has arrived. He's had a press conference very early to say anything about him. What do you think of Wilson so far? And also, we haven't talked about McDaid. What have you made of those new signings, and what are your expectations for Vaughan?
I like what Wilson has brought so far, like very tiny player. I think at Bray he started off at right back. I think Keogh came off at halftime, and so he switched to left back, where I mean it didn't look quite as comfortable, but as the game wore on, you know, we're pushing more and more people forward, you know, the formation kind of broke down a little bit. But I thought he seemed tidy with the ball, you know, capable. Maybe some room for improvement on crossing, right? A lot of hitting the first man and stuff like that. But, you know, generally speaking, has looked pretty capable. I think McDaid looks pacey. Definitely should have scored against Bray. Like, did a great job to break the offside trap, you know, sort of despite being sort of chased down by two defenders, found room for a shot, but you know, screwed that shot wide. But you can definitely see what's there. He's got some pace. Seems tidy, and I think with Leo Gatz's injury, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more of him. And then I think Rowan Vaughan, we're going to have to wait and see. Like much as we might have all enjoyed a press conference, it's what's on the field is going to, you know, sort of make the difference. But yeah, I think probably most worrying is we seem to have a minor defensive crisis at the moment. So I'm not sure what's happened to Maoa Anemesehun, but he doesn't seem to have been in the squad the last couple of weeks. I think Sean Keogh came off with an injury on Friday night. Now it looked like one of those where he, you know, sort of dived in to block a shot and maybe, you know, just took a sort of an impact injury or something like that. But, you know, I think that was a bit unfortunate. We saw Sean McHale earlier in the match have to come off after, you know, sort of one of those. It looked like he was going to play on for a considerable period of time. So you're hoping it's not that bad, right? If he was able to play on for another 10 minutes, maybe it's just something that, you know, needs a bit of treatment or something like that. But I think over the course of the season, he's looked like he's, you know, somebody who suffers sort of repeated, you know, sort of niggly injuries and stuff like that. And so that's a bit of a problem. And so I think we saw Conor O'Keefe come back into the team slightly unexpectedly, like, and play a lot more minutes than probably he would have expected to do. But he looked really comfortable at centre half, right? I think actually maybe a bit more comfortable than he's looked at right back. So we probably have just about enough cover to see that out. But at the same time, I think it really does look down to the bare bones, right? We could do with a few of those defensive reinforcements recovering before Friday.
Yeah, I thought McDaid was impressive. I think he just get better, I think, as he goes along. It's interesting because just as what Martin was speaking there about performance of players, it kind of like Kieran Kilduff, this is his first, you know, term as a senior manager, you know, in football, in men's football. And he's put together a bit of a serious squad. Like, I mean, like we're top of the Premier Division, and he seems to have like an eye, sorry, top of the first division. I wish we were top of the Premier Division, top of the first division, and like we seem to have a nice squad. So, like obviously, you know, Rowan Vaughan coming in, we haven't seen them yet. So you'd like to think that that's just another addition to, you know, what Kieran Kilduff sees as, you know, a player of the quality that he wants to sign. You know, I know there's a lot of frustration, the lack of goals, but as Ken's pointed out earlier on, where we seem to be quite solid in the defence, which we are. Very, very young team as well. And so I'd be positive about our signings, and I like to think that, you know, that they will be an addition, especially when players come back from injury, and as players will most likely get injured as the finale comes upon us.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've said from time to time and window to window that managers really live and die by their signings. And I think, as you say, Kilduff has had a pretty great start from a really bare bones squad of, you know, three or four people who were still at the club when he took over. I think he's assembled a really good squad, like to have them top of the league. I think we should say, like, from a perspective, that we weren't sure that the club was going to exist, right? And to be top of the league in July, 4 points clear, is way above what our initial expectations were, right? So this is a fabulous job so far. But we'd also say that Stephen O'Donnell had a really great first squad that he put together. We were high flying in the Premier Division at the time, and from there things really went downhill, right, for a couple of windows after that. You know, a lot of people who came in and made no impact whatsoever. And so, I think this is a real challenge for Kieran Gilduff, right? He's a young manager. He's new to the overall thing. To be able to analyze a squad and analyze a league overall, right? And see what does it take to get promoted and be able to invest wisely and have that paid off. Like, that's a real skill. And obviously some people like Stephen Kenny were, gifted with the ability to pick up players who seem to be out of favor at other clubs and, sort of on the cusp of giving up playing football entirely. And I don't think we're going to have anybody else who's maybe going to instantly repeat that kind of thing. But, hopfully what we've seen so far in terms of his player selection carries on well.
Yeah, well, despite, I suppose, our discontent with our lack of converting chances, we are where we want to be. We're on the top of the league. We have a cushion. And hopefully, it's going to be full steam ahead. Our next enemy that's hoving over the horizon is going to be Wexford. We had a difficult and eventful game down there. They do have players who can do damage and, manage to score two goals against us. But fortunately, we had the firepower to get the better of them at home. It's a chance for a bit of a reset. We've clashed with Premier League opposition who were in good form. We give a good account of ourselves. There is positives to be taken from the Sligo game despite the exit of the cup. And like I said before the game, this year I have no qualms about going out of the FAI Cup. We need 100% attention on the league. We don't really need any distractions. And to tell you the truth, the cup run would have been only that. It's existential. We've got to get out of this division because it's going to get a lot tougher next week, next year to get out of this division. There is going to be whoever it may be. It may be Sligo or it may be Cork, but there's going to be a bigger competitor to get out of the division next year. We've said this before. So it's a chance for a restart next Friday at home against Wexford, a decent team but beatable opposition. And hopefully we'll be all hoping that the lads have done their shooting practice and they've improved the supply and we can begin to convert some of these chances. And I think I have the feeling that should goals begin to kind of go in for us, we'll get some wind in our sails again. So with that, I suppose we can wrap it up for this episode. Thank you very much to everybody who contributed on Twitter. Thanks to Martin, Damien, and Rory for having a chat about our last few games. And we'll be hopefully back to talk to you again after the Wexford game.
The face of football. The face of football. The face of football.